We turn to the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and read as we did this morning, the first chapter. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Thus far the reading of God's word. For our text for this afternoon's sermon, I wish to direct you to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5a. 5a, I am black, but comely. Our theme is black but comely, the Christian's self-image. Black but comely, the Christian's self-image. First, the paradox expressed. Secondly, the paradox explained. And thirdly, the paradox experienced. Black but comely, the Christian's self-image. First, the paradox expressed. Secondly, the paradox explained. And thirdly, the paradox experienced. We hear the voice of the bride of Christ. She has spoken of the glory and majesty of the bridegroom. And she has also spoken to him, "Draw me, we will run after thee." But when we listen to her now, then we see that she is not addressing the bridegroom, but she is addressing the people around her. That's the picture we get, that people are gathered around the bride, and the people are called the daughters of Jerusalem. What are these people doing? They are staring at her. They have fixed their eyes on the bride, and they are looking at her. And is that not what people do on the wedding day, for instance? Then you try and get a close look at the bride. You want to see how she looks. You want to see her beauty. You want to see her appearance. And so you take a close look at the bride. But as these people stand around this bride of Christ and they look at her, they stand astonished, shocked. Something is different. Something is unusual. Something does not fit. For you see, here stands the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Christ, you know, who is the chiefest among 10,000. Here is the spouse of the beloved Lord Jesus. In other words, there is no bride who is more privileged than this bride. And there is no greater husband to have as your husband than this divine husband, this heavenly bridegroom. And you know, don't you, that this bridegroom has gone to great lengths to purchase her. She is a costly bride. Never in the history of the entire universe has there ever been a bride that has cost this much. How much? It cost the bridegroom his life. His own blood. So, what you would expect of this bride then is that she would be the most lovely bride there is. That she would be the most beautiful bride. But that's when there is something unusual. That's when there is something unexpected. She is different than you expect. She looks differently than you would expect a bride to look like. You see, you would expect the bride of Christ to be without spot, wouldn't you? Without wrinkle, without one blemish of the smallest kind. But the bride of Christ is not. In fact, she is the opposite. She is black. And so imagine a wedding day in which the bride is going to enter into the church doors. The organ is about to play, and then the people stand up and they appear to see the bride. And now here we are speaking of the bride of Christ. And when you look at her, you are stunned. She is black. There is no beauty in her. She has no charm at all. There is no loveliness or beauty in her. In fact, when you see her, you're tempted to put your hands in front of your eyes and to turn away. Never would you imagine her to be a bride. Certainly not the bride of Christ. And so when the bride sees how everyone is looking at her, she agrees and confesses what they are thinking. I am black, she says. And then you are wanting to ask another question. How did this come about? And the bride, she is not hesitating in answering that question either. She tells us in verse 6 of this chapter 1. And then you see in verse 6 that what you have to do is you have to follow the bride outside. And you have to follow her out to the field, for she is black. Because of the sun burning her skin. She had to work outside and she had to work under that hot and scorching sun. And you see, she had to slave away for others. She had to do the work of a slave. That's not someone with a high standing, is it? In other words, this bride is no queen. Sitting indoors, looking into the mirror, beautifying herself and her appearance all day long? No. Instead, from dawn to dusk, she is under the hot, scorching sun. People have sent her out to work. People have been angry with her. And now imagine, boys and girls, that from the earliest moment that you could work, you were driven out of the home to work as a slave. Working under that hot, burning sun. No time for anything else. No time to dawdle a little bit. No time to take a look in the mirror. No time to take care of your appearance, but work and sweat and work under the sun, and so blackened by the sun, burnt by the sun, and you have become black. Your skin wrinkled. You look horrible. Old. And instead of having a smooth, soft skin, your skin is hard. It's tough. Ugly. Blackened by the rays of the sun. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that she would not be someone who would make it into the magazines of brides and weddings. In fact, you would think that she would be a reject because of her blackness and her ugliness. Just look at her. Take a look at her. See all the spots. See all the blackness. See all the wrinkles. She is not fit to be courted by anyone. She's not fit to be dated, never mind married. But she is not a reject. There she stands. And there she stands as a bride. And she stands there as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief among 10,000s. And she says, I am black. She agrees with the evaluation of those around her and what they are thinking. She says, it is true, I am black. I know that I am an unlikely candidate to be the bride of Christ. Maybe that's what a young girl says of herself, you know. Maybe no one will ever marry me. That's the picture here of the bride, an unlikely candidate to be the bride, certainly of Christ. I am black. But she adds something else. Black, true, but comely, beautiful, lovely. That is also what she says. And that is also what is said of her. And we can find that also recorded in the pages of the Song of Solomon, if we take only verse 8 of this chapter which we have read together. For there we hear the voice of one who says, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. And take a look at chapter 2, verse 10. There we hear the beloved say, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 13, the last part, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. She is black, but fair and comely. Oh, it may not be apparent to the onlookers, but it is nevertheless true. Oh, it is a paradox, I know. It seems like a contradiction, for that is what a paradox is. A seeming contradiction to speak on the one hand of lacking beauty, and on the other hand of having beauty. On the one hand to be ugly, and on the other hand to be beautiful. To be unmistakably black, so that men would turn their eyes away from you and put their hands over their eyes. And on the other hand, to be so lovely and comely in the eyes of Christ. How can this be? Let's look at that secondly. The paradox explained. What does this all mean? I am black, but comely. How does this relate to the bride of Christ? Well, we see something here of the bride of Christ. And we see this, that it is not someone whom you would expect to be a bride. But it is someone whom you would turn your eyes away from. She lacks any beauty. And what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that Christ's bride is not what you would imagine a bride to be. Christ's bride is a despised people. And that's how God's people appear also in the eyes of many people. That's how God's people appear in the eyes of the world. And that is sometimes even how they appear to other Christians. The Christians, or those with the name Christian, look down upon God's true people. Think of Joseph, for instance. There he was, hated by his brothers. being treated roughly, sold to the Midianites, and then being sent into labor, and ends up in prison. And you would ask of him, is this someone who is precious in God's eyes? Is this someone who will make up the bride of Christ? Yes. Or think of Jacob, the father of Joseph. You know that Jacob in his old age, he comes before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asks Jacob and asks him, what is your occupation? And then Jacob, he admits that they were shepherds, that they were despised people without any land. Imagine that, shepherds, a despised occupation, without having any land for your sheep actually to graze upon. And there stands Jacob before Pharaoh, King Pharaoh. And there he is, an old, beaten man, beaten by many trials. And Jacob says to Pharaoh, few and evil have my days been. And you would ask, is this Jacob someone who is dear to the Lord? Could such a one make up the bride of Christ? Yes. And that also plays itself out in history. I'm thinking, for instance, of this Christian, what is her name? She was a woman who lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s. And she was someone who had a very difficult life, grew up in a very poor home, was a slave from a very early age on, had hard times making it in the home. They barely survived from day to day. And she grew up in a formalistic Christian home that just went by a few Christian outward appearances. She found a man. I had a child out of wedlock. This man left her, and he had to go on the boat. Later on, he came back and he married her, and they got married. And it was as if Christian Watt had one trial after another. Many trials, but the Lord came to be her God, and she came to know the love of God. Her husband was a fisherman, and he was swept overboard. And never came home. She was left with 8 children. And under all these trials that she had, she eventually couldn't handle it anymore. And for rest, and to the relief of some of her stress, she had to go into a mental institution. And that mental institution did her much good, but when she came out of the mental institution, then people looked down upon her. They despised someone who had ever been in such an institution. They looked down upon her and they treated her with contempt. And so she lived on time after time, being despised by people. But she was one who belonged to the bride of Christ. So God's people are a despised people. They are black. The bride of Christ is black. And what makes up her blackness? What are some of her black spots? What marks her? Well, we can say several things. For one thing, shame marks the bride of Christ. Shame. How does this bride who stands here in the midst of all these onlookers, how does she stand there? What is she feeling as she says, I am black? She feels shame. And that is true that God's people appear shameful. You would want to look away from her. She does not have what the world would compare as beauty. She does not have the knowledge that the world counts to be knowledge. She does not have the wisdom and the riches and the looks of the world. God's people are not counted highly by the world, are not respected by the world, but, like Christian Watt, are looked down upon. They are looked down upon, and men look away from her, for she is black, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. She is contemptible in the eyes of many, despised and counted as refuse. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13, Paul says, we are made the filth of the world and are the off-scouring of all things unto this day. Who wants to be in our day associated with the church and the bride of Christ? It is popular to go to the latest movie. It's popular to go to the latest sports game, but who wants to be known as one who belongs to the bride of Christ? The world doesn't respect it. The bride is marked not only by shame, but also by sin. The bride is polluted. Ezekiel 16 clearly portrays this, where the Lord speaks unto Israel and says, "As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood." That's the bride of Christ. Polluted, corrupt at the very core of her being, from the her deeds are black. Her thoughts are black. Her affections are black. Her heart is black. Her guilt is black. Her entire life is black. As that one man who looked back over his days on this earth, he said, "What a mess I have made of my life. It is black." Is that not what God's people confess? Is that not what Isaiah confessed? He said, "I am undone, a man of unclean lips." Peter himself said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." The Syrophoenician woman said, "Truth, Lord, I am a dog." And what are they all saying therein? They are saying, "I am black." And think now of a leper. You know, the lepers in the Old Testament, especially there, they were an unclean people. Unclean in his person, and everything that they touched became unclean. If he sat somewhere on a chair, that chair became unclean. If he lay down somewhere on a bed, that bed became unclean. And so it is with the Christian. All that the Christian does is tainted with blackness of sin. I am black. I am the bride is also marked by troubles. Not only shame, not only sin, but also by troubles. And that's what we read of the bride in the chapter which we have read together, that others had dealt very bitterly with this bride, that she had to endure much pain and she had to endure much troubles, and so God's people have to endure many trials. And the world will ensure of it that God's people are hated, that they will suffer persecution. All that will live godly shall suffer persecution of one kind or another. Thomas Goodwin, that great Puritan, said, "This is the lot of God's children, if only the loss of a good name. For if they are loved by Christ, they must expect to be hated by men. If they will have peace in Christ, in the world they shall have tribulation." And so God's people are marked by troubles. And the day is coming when it will be seen, when the Lord identifies His bride on the great judgment day, then you will see a people who were blackened by the troubles in this world. And the men will be surprised that this is the bride of Christ. I am black. Black in her sin and in herself. Black, but comely. Black, yet fair, beautiful, lovely. Now, how can this be? Has she made herself beautiful? Has she beautified herself? No, she has not beautified herself, for she has a blackness that she cannot undo. You see, she has an ugliness which you cannot correct. She cannot paint her face. She cannot remove the burnt blackness of her skin. She cannot take away the spots. She cannot soften the hardened layer of her skin. Well, I know that in our day all kinds of means exist to change the color of your skin and to change the way that you look and to try and enhance your own beauty, but a sinner cannot make himself beautiful in God's sight.
For you see, God looks at the heart. But still the bride says, I am also comely. How? Well, this is a beauty that she does not have from herself. Who has provided for this beauty? The bridegroom has. The Lord Jesus. Who is it that takes care of his bride? It's the bridegroom. And the bridegroom has provided for her beauty. And is that not what the scriptures also teach us? No, I know that we don't find it here in the Song of Solomon so much. But elsewhere we find this beauty described. That if we were to take a look at the chapter which we have already briefly looked at, Ezekiel 16, then we will see something of the beauty that she receives. Ezekiel 16, verse 9. There the Lord speaks about passing by this child that was laying in her blood. In verse 9, then he says that, Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. There you see the bride in her linen and in her silk and in her beauty as provided by the king. And she is then comely because the king has clothed her such. He has provided her with this comeliness. That is also what we find in one other place in Jeremiah 6 verse 2 where the Lord says, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Comely. I am comely. Because the bridegroom has provided her with garments. He has removed the garments of sin. He has clothed her with the garments of righteousness. And so there she stands in her brilliant silk and in the righteousness and the beauteous robes of Christ. There is no stain in these garments. There is no thread which needs to be stitched and added. There is no thread that needs to be restitched. And so when God looks upon His people, then He sees her through Christ. Christ's righteousness becomes theirs. So that, yes, though I am black, sinful, and though I have broken all the commandments of God, and though I am inclined to all blackness and all sin, God sees me as if I had never sinned. In fact, as if I had fulfilled all obedience which Christ accomplished for me. You see, the Lord gives a garment of righteousness and holiness so that the sinner becomes comely. Doesn't the Lord say that? In Jacob He sees no iniquity. You see, His bride is now without spot and without wrinkle. He has put the garments of comeliness on her. She is black of her own demerits, that's true. But she is comely by grace. Black in herself, but comely in Christ. Is this your confession? Do you know of this paradox? This seeming contradiction. I am black, but comely. Can you say this yourself from the heart? That I have come to see myself as black and comely. Do you know this paradox? Don't you think that it is an important thing to know? For either you belong to the bride of Christ or you don't. If you don't belong to the bride of Christ, then there is no beauty in you. Do you see that this is an important question? Do you know this confession from your heart before God?
How do you come to know this paradox?
Let's look at that thirdly. The experience of this paradox. How is it that you come to confess this paradox?
Well, the Lord has to teach you this.
The Lord has to teach you your blackness. That is something that many do not concern themselves with. Man thinks that he is comely. Our society is so taken up with herself and with its self-image and always emphasizes the positive self-image that we are to have. And that self-image, if you were to go to see a non-Christian psychologist perhaps, he would speak about this self-image and never speak about sin, never speak about God, never speak about what God thinks of us. So man, he of course thinks of himself as comely. Oh, he wants to think of himself that he is beautiful. You see, man is like that. He thinks highly of himself. And he will even dare to tell you, if you ask him, that he is on his way to heaven. He is going to heaven because, after all, he is not a terrible man. There are a lot more worse people than he is. Certainly, he is in black. So what does the Lord have to do? The Lord has to go to work. And he has to show the sinner for who he really is. And he has to show him what the sinner really looks like in the mirror of his law. So that you come to see that you are a sinner and that you have this blackness of guilt and you have this blackness of pollution and you have this blackness of being dead in sins and trespasses, that you are unholy, that you are unrighteous, that you are repulsive to God, vile before God, totally opposite to how He has made you. He has to show you your guilt. But what do we do when our conscience speaks? And our conscience does speak at times. Then we become uncomfortable for some moments. But we'd rather not think on that, and so we quickly shove it aside and we go on thinking of ourselves as we have done before. Or it can be that you hear this and you recognize this for a moment and you see something of your ugliness and your blackness, but what do? Well, you go to the mirror and you apply some makeup and you apply some cover-up. You see, you want to cover up the few spots of blackness which you think are there, and you try, but the blackness doesn't go away. In fact, the more you look in the mirror of God's law, the blacker you are. The blacker your blackness is. It is blacker, it is deeper, it is greater than you know. Oh, I know your remedy is cover up and more cover up, and it is true that we can make ourselves appear religious outwardly, and we can make ourselves look comely outwardly. But remember, it is God who looks. And in God's eyes, a person who covers up himself with some kind of makeup cannot fool God. And so the Spirit, He needs to teach us more. And He has to teach us that we are black, and that the blackness cannot be undone, and that the blackness cannot be hid from Him. It is the blackness of the heart that we cannot shove aside. And so there you stand before the mirror, and the mirror is held up by the Lord Himself, and He is showing you something of your blackness and something of your spots, and that mirror paints an honest picture. God cannot lie. Have you ever discovered the blackness of your heart? Has the Lord ever opened your eyes to see this blackness in your soul? No, I do not ask whether you have seen all of your blackness. That is not the question. But have you seen something of it? Has the Lord opened your eyes to see something that you cannot but admit? This is me, a black sinner. I am black. Lord, it is true. Have you ever come to see your unholiness in the sight of God's holiness, in the presence of the King? Have you ever seen your blackness so that you come to grieve? Think of a story of someone who is burned, a terrible accident, and their face gets burned. They go to the hospital, and they try to do whatever they can, and they try to give what kind of treatments they can. And then one day, a mirror is given to you to look at yourself. And there you look, And what happens to someone who has had that painful experience? You begin to weep. And what happens to a sinner when he comes to see something of his blackness? You begin to weep. And you begin to loathe yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, it is true, I am black. I have made myself black and I cannot be accepted by Thee. Oh, I've tried. I've tried to cover it up. I've tried to make myself religious outwardly. But I cannot undo it. I need the comeliness of another. I need the beauty of another. I need the righteousness of the King. I need the holiness of the Bridegroom. I need the new garment. I need the garment of righteousness. And do you know that this garment of righteousness and this beauty is something that God delights to give? He desires to make a people comely. Who does He give it to? He gives this comeliness to a black people, a sinful people, who cannot improve themselves anymore, but who find that they can only make themselves blacker, like going into the coal mine, and you only can make yourself blacker, not white. To such the Lord gives this comeliness, the comeliness of Christ, to a people who receive it with empty hands, by faith in this comely Savior, in this beautiful Bridegroom. Can you say, I am black, but comely? Or maybe you say, I don't dare to say this of myself. I don't trust my own judgment. Yes, I know I am black. That I am comely? I don't know if I can say that. What do you need then? Don't you need the Lord then to speak it to your soul? As the Lord also does. Ah, the voice of my beloved, the bride says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. He says it two times on one occasion, as if to reassure to a person who finds himself black. No, you are fair. I have made you so. Thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Are you comely in God's eyes? Can you live without the comeliness of Christ? Can you hope to be accepted before God in your own person? Can you hope that things will get better, that you will become less black in your own self, that perhaps the blackness will become less pitch black and will become more dull black, maybe? There is only one robe that can make you comely. The robe of Christ's righteousness. And still today He clothes the people with that robe, with this garment, and He makes them comely in the eyes of God. And now next Lord's Day, dear congregation, we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Bridegroom, He is the host at this table. And He invites people unto that table. Who does He invite? A black but comely people. Those who think that they are comely and only comely, and they that think that they are comely in themselves are not welcome. Those who think highly of themselves, who look at themselves before the law of God and think that they are comely and that really the Lord must think of them as comely too. And they will point to this in their life and to that in their life and to this. And they think it all is all beauty. What is missing? What is missing is that they are blind to their blackness And that comes out in their self-conceit. You see, they have never come to see how black and depraved and corrupt they truly are. They've never seen how guilty they are. You see, there is no comeliness in you, in any of you. There is no comeliness of you, in you, and by you. Do you think highly of yourself, my dear friend? Have you never seen of yourself that you are black? Have you never loathed yourself because of your blackness? Have you never seen the beauty and the need for the beauty of Christ? Do you refuse to bow before God? Do you refuse to confess your blackness of sin and point it out? Do you refuse to ask the Lord to show you your blackness? If that is your case, do you refuse to admit the beauty of Christ? Do you refuse to receive His comeliness, that when He offers it to you, you say, no, thank you. And we refuse to be stripped of our own blackness, and we want to be content with our cover-up, and we say, just leave me the way I am. I'm comfortable enough. Maybe you're content to say some pious words when you are asked, but you will not study the beauty of Christ. You will not receive this beauty of Christ by faith. You will not believe. You will not receive the garment of Christ's righteousness. Dear friend, are you willing to trample underfoot the blood of Christ? To refuse this garment of righteousness? Are you willing to say, I don't need this obedience of Christ? Oh, you can say it in different ways, I know. You can say it in a presumptuous way. Of course I believe. Of course I am black enough. Of course I'm comely. Well, you can say it in other ways too. You can say it in self-righteous ways. Or you can say it as an ignorant one. But whatever you say and however you say it, if you say, I do not need this groom Christ. I do not love this groom Christ. I do not see why He had to come from heaven to earth to give His life on the cross. I do not see why He had to do it and sew this garment of righteousness and give that garment of righteousness. I do not see it. Oh, my dear friends, you are black. All of you, young people, you are black. I am black. And if that is your case, that you are only black, why not receive the comeliness of Christ today? Why not say, Lord, this comeliness is what I am needing. I am so black. Why don't you tell Him that? Today He still stands offering this garment of righteousness to any black sinner. And there is none who can say, I am too black. Oh, maybe that's what you say. I think I am too black. That if the Lord were to put this garment of righteousness upon me, then my blackness would still shine through that white garment of glory. That is not true. You are not too black to receive this garment. That is what the devil tells you. But the Lord doesn't say that to any blackened sinner. The Lord says, you who don't know how to pray, you're black. I can make you comely. You who don't know how little you love me. And you say, oh Lord, how little I love thee. You are black, but He can give you a garment of righteousness. You who say, ah, my heart is too attached to this world. You are black. He can make you comely. Nothing is too hard or too wonderful with the Lord. He can make a beauteous bride out of an ugly bride. That is what He has come to do. Oh, receive this garment of Christ. Why will you not become comely today? Those who are black but comely
of the Lord. Then it can be that you say,
how can I sit with the King at His table? And that can be the question of the child of God. How can I sit with the King at His table? I am black, and blacker than you know. Black because of my youth, black because of my parenting, black because of my husbandry, black in all that I am and all that I have done. You don't know even a tiny smidge of my blackness. Oh, it's true. But is there a comeliness that Christ cannot give you? Or maybe you say, but I don't know if I have received that garment of righteousness. How do I know I have believed on the Lord? How do I know that the Holy Spirit has taught me this? Have I truly received this robe? Have I truly seen my blackness? Am I truly comely in God's eyes? I know that that is something that God's children struggle with. But can you not tell the Lord? And is it not so that the Lord is pleased to say to a people, yes, you are black, but I have made you comely in my Son, the Beloved. Oh, then go to Him and tell Him, Lord, this is my case. I do not see the way to the table, but draw me. We will run after Thee. Bring me to Thyself. Make me know the sweet communion with Thee. I am black. Thou art comely. Oh, make me comely in Thyself. And there's one last thing. How did all these people become the bride of Christ? How is it that this bride whom we have portrayed before you, how is it that she became the bride of Christ? Is it because she set herself forward? Is it because of her own beauty? No, it is because He chose her. He set His love upon her. Oh, imagine an arranged marriage. I know we do not practice that, but imagine for a moment an arranged marriage, and that a couple is not allowed to meet till the wedding day. They write each other little letters, and they send one another pictures, and they speak by way of telephone, but they don't meet till the wedding day. And then it can be that when the man stands at the front of the church, and the bride comes through the doors, that when he sees her, he says, no, I will not marry her. She is not what I thought her to be. I see no beauty in her. Well, God has chosen a people, and He has arranged to marry them. And He knows full well their blackness and ugliness. And the bridegroom came from heaven in order to seek out His bride. And He went to Golgotha for her. And when He was about to suffer on Golgotha's cross, He did not say, no, I find no beauty in her. No, I'm not going to suffer the wrath of God for them. They are an ugly people. No, He went. And in the hours of darkness, the Father saw no comeliness in His own Son. And the Father made Christ to be sin. He made Him to be black. He made Him to bear the blackness of His children, so that sinners might be made comely through Him. He knows their blackness full well. He has paid for it. He knows also their beauty, because it is the beauty in Himself, so that no man will glory in himself, but glory in the bridegroom. And so what shall God's children be engaged in this week? Oh, my dear friends, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. Gaze upon Him. I am black, but comely. He will meet with such a people at His table here below, and He will meet them one day in glory above. But then she will no longer be black. She will be comely. His beauty shall be manifested through eternity. I am black, but comely in Christ. Amen.